Hello and welcome to the Game House College Sports Show. I am Joe. With me is Kyle, as always, here to talk some college football after a great week five. We're going to recap that and we're going to preview week six. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We had a big win this week, so feeling pretty good.
We'll get to that later, as you can rub it in my face. But first, as is becoming a weekly routine on this show, two more Power 5 coaches were fired. So we're going to start off with Carl Durrell from Colorado. He was fired after three seasons of not having good football. They actually had Colorado had a good season in 2020 during the COVID year, but haven't been able to get back to it. Losing Mel Tucker did seemingly pretty bad damage to the program, and Durrell could not get that going. Colorado's another job though, Kyle, that like kind of like Arizona State. I think they could be like a sleeping giant, but they're not even anywhere close to it right now, because right now the roster is a disaster.
Yeah, I thought this might have been even a little bit overdue. Colorado's been very bad all year. They were bad last year and everything, so this doesn't come as a shock at all. It was basically a guess of what week this was going to happen, and they finally pulled the trigger. Colorado's not a bad place to coach. You know, I think that'd be a decent spot for somebody to go to maybe try to jump it up. You know, Pac-12 has – it's stronger this year. It certainly is. I mean, I think we've seen that this year. There's been like five ranked teams at a time. There's been a lot of Pac-12 movement in and out of the top 25, so it's not quite your Pac-12 of the past. It's not your ACC of the, you know, current trajectory or anything, but – I think it's a good spot you could go to like jumpstart a career a little bit. It's a somewhat attractive job to me, but
yeah, I mean, if you're power ranking the jobs available, it would definitely be probably near the bottom of the ones that are currently available. But like a lot of that has to do with the money you're going to get as paid as a coach. But if you're talking about where you can go and maybe have some job stability, if you just make some bowl games, you know, turn over the roster, then yeah, it's. That's the difference between, like, yes, the ceiling is in a national championship at Colorado, but the job in terms of job security could be really good, which, you know, a lot of coaches go to these big schools like Auburn, which we're going to talk about next week probably, and the ceiling is a national championship. They've proved that they can make the national championship, but the basement is you get fired after two or three years, or kind of maybe wrongfully too sometimes. Not this time, sometimes.
Very much so, but yeah.
Possible replacements. Lance Leipold, Kansas's coach, is going to be named for every head coaching job out there, specifically in the Midwest and West.
Yes.
Brian Harsin, if he gets fired from Auburn, which again we'll talk about, maybe better fit out West. Bill O'Brien really hasn't proven himself as Alabama offensive coordinator quite yet. He did have a better game calling plays this week. Matt Rhule, who's going to get fired by the Carolina Panthers any week too, could be a better fit in Colorado. He's one out West and a program builder. And then Matt Campbell, again, he's probably going to leave Iowa State at some point, but he's going to be in contention for some of these other jobs too.
It's a lot of the same names we've been hearing. Kind of getting tired of it, I'm going to be honest. I think Leopold, this is actually – I don't think he is a Colorado. We're going to get to it, I guess, but Wisconsin, I think that's a much more likely spot if he's going to end up leaving. But as far as the Colorado job, I do think that's a pretty good bet on Brian Harsin. I don't think that would be the worst choice for them. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he's not a fit in the SEC. I don't think it's helping the fact that the Auburn boosters are hovering over his shoulder. I never thought he was going to work there anyway, but that doesn't mean he's a bad coach. So I could see that being a potential replacement at Colorado. But I don't think Leopold's the guy. I think Leopold probably heads to the Big Ten. But, you know, we'll see.
All right, we'll get right to it then. Wisconsin fires Paul Chryst. It was something that maybe a lot of people kind of saw coming, but maybe not so soon. They're 2-3 on the year. You know, for Wisconsin, firing a coach takes a lot longer than other programs. They usually stick with what they've got. The last coach they fired in both basketball and football was Stan Van Gundy back in like 95. So they don't often fire coaches. They usually win based on their system and based on getting the big uglies up front to block. So a little bit of like possible Bo Pelini type feel here to the firing, but also they have slipped from being that team that wins like 10 games a year. So, power ranking the jobs, this might be the best job out there. This coaching cycle, we'll talk about maybe that in the offseason a little bit more, but the expectation at Wisconsin isn't necessarily to win national championships. It is to win the Big Ten West and to always be on top of that. But, that's not always the hardest thing to do.
It was a somewhat surprising decision. Just like you said, like he was very successful there. You look at his history, it's a very Bo Pelini kind of feel. The only difference is I truly do think that he was slipping a little bit, and I was questioning what his offense looked like because it seemed like it had just absolutely no life after in the last like 3 years, basically since the COVID year, and maybe even a little bit before that. But his best years came with the Gary Anderson, Brett Bielema stat or the roster that he was, you know, and he inherited, and he's just kind of slipped a little bit each year, every year a little bit more, and maybe it was a little premature, but I really do just kind of think it was inevitable at the end of the day anyway. So maybe you didn't save yourself money by firing him in week 5 or 6, whatever it is, but I think it was going to happen anyway.
I think so too, and I think part of the reason why, and just kind of get to possible candidates here too, they have Jim Leonard as their defensive coordinator. He's often been brought up for a lot of jobs over the past, I don't know how many years, 3 or 4 years. Wisconsin grad, they want to give him a shot to have the job. Whether he can, you know, if the roster stinks and they're not playing well right now, how much can an interim coach do this year? We'll have to see. Like, how is that going to impress anyone? I have no idea. But Jim Leonard is the guy who's in the driver's seat to get this job. And then it's Lance Leipold, who's been at Wisconsin-Whitewater, so he has ties to the state. And then I won't bore everyone with all the lists that we just talked about, but Matt Campbell seems like a really good fit here as well. All right, let's get to the recaps of games last week, Kyle. This had 10 ranked teams lose, so it was a good week overall. We'll start it off on Friday, and UCLA was able to beat Washington 40-32. Washington has looked good this season, but UCLA with Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who seems like he's been there forever, and Zach Charbonnet, the transfer from Michigan, were able to move the ball just a little bit better and kind of kill the clock in the fourth quarter to get the win.
He really has been there forever, and as an Ole Miss fan, I thought DTR was going to end up transferring, and I was campaigning so hard for him to come to Ole Miss because I think he's a great quarterback. I think he would have worked really well in the Lane Kiffin system. Either way, he's still doing well this year. I love seeing him succeed. I thought Washington and Penix was a little overrated. We saw Michigan State drop very far after that win, and so that's no longer really holding any kind of – wait for me, but this did kind of go like how I expected. I mean, UCLA was blowing them out the entire game. Washington got some late scores and whatnot, but this does seem to be going on par. I don't know. I think UCLA is a better team than Washington. They proved it last week. I think that's kind of one of the top two, four, whatever teams in the Pac-12. I'd keep an eye on them going forward. You get a veteran quarterback, it can take you places.
Yeah, I agree. And Chip Kelly, I mean, it hasn't been the greatest tenure at UCLA, but he's got things going now, and UCLA's moving to the Big Ten here soon. So interesting that UCLA and USC, you're both
undefeated. So weird.
I know, right? But they're both going to the Big Ten. They're both undefeated still, UCLA, USC. We'll see what happens. We'll get to this game now, Kyle. Ole Miss beats Kentucky. Great game. It was the most viewed cable game of the week. I saw that. From my perspective, I'll let you get to yours here too, because I'm sure it's completely different, but Kentucky shot themselves in the foot too many times to win this game. It was self-inflicted, a lot of it. Ole Miss, I was impressed. They had a lot of players out, and they had freshmen and other guys stepping up who just don't normally play that much or have played just a little bit this year. But good game came down to the wire, and ultimately just the mistakes from Kentucky just cost them in the end.
Yeah, no, I think our evaluations are pretty similar. You can blame they missed the targeting call or whatever it is. And, you know, the bottom line is there were also missed calls on the other side. So, you know me, like, I hate blaming the refs for anything, and I'm not going to do it here either. We had injuries and stuff as well. You know, Kinshawn Judkins was by far one of the biggest signings in the offseason, and it wasn't even a transfer, which, you know, we've been called the transfer king or whatever it's called. Zach Evans has been hurt, and he didn't really play this game. And Kinshawn Judkins, he stepped up and he played a big game, and that was huge. I mean, we needed every little bit of that. We also needed every little bit of the defense. I thought, and you can chime in on this or tell me I'm wrong or whatever. I thought that Stoops didn't let Will Levis throw it downfield enough. I thought it was a very conservative play call. You get your Chris Rodriguez, your best running back, arguably your best player on offense. You get him back. He didn't – I think he averaged like 3 yards a carry. It wasn't anything impressive. I just don't think you let Will Levis show his talent enough. I watched him last week. I've watched him this year. Yes, he makes mistakes, but he can also make great throws, and he was not allowed to do that. He wasn't allowed to display that in this game.
I would agree with you. I think this is something me and you both have problems with Will Levis kind of the same issues with him that everyone else has, but, you know, maybe not thinking that he's as good as prescribed. But if the Kentucky coaches are the ones out here after the game defending him, saying Will Levis is that guy, we totally believe in him, then show it. Call the deep passes. You have Barry and Brown, who had how many return yards?
He had an amazing game. He had an amazing game. He was actually responsible for most of the receiving yards because he did some slants, and then he would tear it off for, I don't know, 40 yards. I mean, Barry and Brown killed us.
Yeah, you had him. You have Tavian Robinson, who's just a Swiss Army knife with what he can do. And you had Dane Key, who's one of the best freshman receivers in the country. And it's just disappointing that they didn't take those chances. It was good that the run game was better, despite him only averaging like 3.5 yards a carry. But
it's still technically better.
It's still technically better.
Lane Kiffin in the post game still called Will Levis the first overall draft pick. I don't think he was trolling. I actually do think he believes that Will Levis is very good. And I just don't think Kentucky used him correctly. But
I don't either. I like the job that Rick Scangarello, the offensive coordinator, did in terms of like some of the play calls, like, you know, the shovel pass and everything else was good. But they do need to attack downfield, and they did not do that. They lost, and, you know, they got to start protecting the football. That's the big issue with Will Levis overall. And Chris Rodriguez, honestly, with his fumble issues. So I think they'll get it all cleaned up. And as Lane Kiffin said after the game, that's, you know, Kentucky's still a very good team. They have a lot in front of them, and Ole Miss obviously still undefeated and a chance to go a couple more weeks without losing it too. So they got a lot in front of them as well.
We'll see.
All right. Well, next game up, we have Georgia and Missouri. This is not a game I thought we would recap, but very quickly, nope. I guess that Georgia almost blew this game. Missouri was in the driver's seat for most of the game, and honestly, they were very close to winning it. Close losses don't really matter that much anymore. I mean, Georgia is still going to go the rest of the season. But I think with two kind of dud performances in a row with playing Missouri and also playing Kent State, there is some cause for concern with this Georgia team. They got players blowing up on the sidelines. I think they'll get it all corrected. But two bad games in a row does have me a little bit concerned.
Yeah, I really did think Missouri was going to win this. I thought they called it way too conservatively at the end of the game. And it's funny because whoever it is, Baker or whatever the quarterback's name, I don't even think that was the best option. I think they ran off Basilick. I thought that was the best option. Mm-hmm. And then here they are, they're playing Georgia. And, you know, the quarterback didn't have a great game, but the defense had no business holding Georgia like they did. I was very impressed with Missouri. I don't know if it's going to translate into later weeks, but I don't think it says so much about Georgia. I think it's just kind of that Alabama versus Texas game where they just kind of have a fluke. We barely won this game. I think Georgia's still fine. I think they're still really good. But I think Missouri's showing some life, and that's good too. You know, for them especially, like, I think this could be a potential 6-win team. But this is definitely a booster, I think, even though they lost.
Yeah, I think so too. It gives them a little bit more confidence moving forward. And like I said, we're just going to have to sit and watch Georgia. They're still going to be ranked in the top three every week until they lose. But it's still not looking the greatest. All right, Alabama and Arkansas. This was a weird, weird game. If you were watching the start of the game, you're thinking, okay, this is a blowout. Alabama has it up 28-0. And then maybe you just walk away from the TV or change the channel, and all of a sudden it's 28-23, Alabama over Arkansas. They had come all the way back in the third quarter, looked rejuvenated, and then Alabama runs away with it at the end. It was a tale of three different games, honestly, back to back to back. Bryce Young sprains his shoulder. He is listed as day-to-day. We'll see how that goes. It is his throwing shoulder, so that does mean a lot. Jalen Milroe came in and played really well at quarterback, was able to run the ball a little bit. And also, Jahmyr Gibbs had a really good day. He had a couple big runs at the end of this one to help Alabama seal this one off. Just showing that they, you know, not one person is responsible for this. Bryce Young's still a very good quarterback, but they can win some tough games even with backup players in.
Yeah, no, I think it really just kind of was a testament to just how good Alabama is. I've been waiting for Jahmyr Gibbs to be the great, unbelievable Heisman candidate that everyone's been saying since he went to Alabama. This is the first time it's happened. So finally, thank God it happened. But I do think it was a testament to how good Alabama is. And, you know, Arkansas recovered that second half. They got that onside kick, and they did make it a game. It was very interesting there. But Alabama still covered. I mean, Alabama is that team. So good luck. I mean, Arkansas kind of proved it. You can get right there with them, and you're still going to end up losing by 20. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of talent, lots of good coaching there. We know what that's all about. And obviously after last year, it was a rebuilding year, as Nick Saban said. So I don't want to see what this year turns out for everyone else. Michigan beat Iowa. Kyle, I don't have anything else. That was, I mean, boring game.
I was surprised Iowa scored 14. I know it was in garbage time or whatever. Out of fourth quarter, I didn't watch that game, I'll be totally honest. But I thought Michigan would score more. Maybe the Iowa defense has kind of been exposed a little bit. They haven't played anybody, let's be honest.
No, I mean, this might be one of the tougher offenses they play, too. So their scoring average is still going to be really low at the end of the year. Sure. But it's, yeah, Iowa's going to be that 7-5 team that just all defense again. And Michigan's going to have a shot at the playoff. It's the same as last year, I think, by the end of the season. So nothing more to recap for me. It's just a boring game that I think everyone knows we were not paying the most attention to with the time slot it was in. The primetime game on ABC, Clemson beats NC State 30-20. This is a game of, I think, missed opportunity for NC State. They were right there with them several different times. They could have had Devin Leary make throws downfield. It looks like they didn't trust their offensive line to block long enough for that to happen or their wide receivers to separate, which is an issue. Kyle, as mentioned, I was high on NC State this offseason, but I did pick against them. I just thought those kind of issues would come up, and Clemson's offense looks a whole lot better now that Tony Elliott is coaching Virginia and kind of ruining their offense. That just looks like they've got a totally different team from last year.
Yeah, all I'm really going to say is Devin Leary, he did make me more of a believer this game. I don't, he wasn't terribly efficient. He wasn't great or anything, but after watching him in the first couple weeks, this does give me a little more hope with him and NC State. We'll get to that, because we're going to pick next week's picks. But it's signs of life from NC State, which is good. It's tough to go into Clemson and win. I mean, let's be honest. Clemson's been dominating that conference for a decade. That is an intimidating place to go. So I'm not faulting them for that or anything. Yeah, NC State could have won that game. They missed on opportunities, but I think that's still a very good team in the ACC. I think it's the number two team.
Yeah, I think so too. Next game up, we have Oklahoma State beating Baylor 36-25. This game was, I think, one where Baylor came back, like tried to come back late, but for the most of the game, Oklahoma State had control of it. What this does now is, since Oklahoma State won this on the road and maybe some other teams in the Big 12 are struggling, Oklahoma State is in the driver's seat, I think, to win the Big 12. They're gonna have some competition, Kansas State, but not the usual suspects we've usually see. We'll have Texas, Oklahoma this week, but yeah, Oklahoma State got the big win and looks good in the Big 12.
Okay, they're not going to fight with Kansas for the Big 12 championship. Let's just hold up a second. I also don't think they're going to do Kansas State. But, I mean, we're going to get there because, I don't know, he still does look good, Adrian. But, no, I thought this was a revenge game for Mike Gundy and Oklahoma State. I think I had no doubt they were going to win this game, and I thought they had it pretty handily made until Baylor did, like you said, they made that little comeback there. You see Oklahoma and you see Texas. They're leaving the Big 12. They're going to the SEC. I kind of think Oklahoma State's turning into the team to beat. I mean, they have a very veteran coach. They have a good environment and a good spot and everything. I think that might be the team to beat in the Big 12. Baylor, also very much there, but that's kind of a newer face and everything. Gundy's been there for 20 fucking years. And I think that's going to be the team in the Big 12.
I think it will be too. They got their revenge for the Big 12 championship game last year, and they're kind of going back to their identity of being a team that can actually score points. Last year, it was all defense, and if they can get to that point, watch out.
Yeah.
Let's make fun of Texas A&M, Kyle. Mississippi State beat them, and I think what we're finding out is, we already knew this, we talked about this preseason between me and you, but Jimbo Fisher just refuses to evolve that offense. I will not blame players in the offense. I think it's a lot of Jimbo Fisher problems. I think you have some talented quarterbacks there that just are not being used correctly. In this game specifically, Max Johnson's in, and it looks like he calls his offense like the quarterback's still right-handed, and Max Johnson is very much left-handed. So I don't know if it's stubbornness. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't do pre-snap motion. He doesn't do any of this stuff that most offenses do these days. The defense also is a mess because they're giving up 6 yards a carry to Mississippi State, and they've not stopped the run all year. That's evidenced by the Appalachian State game where they couldn't stop the run. So lots of issues for Texas A&M. I think it's kind of funny. I'm a big Mike Leach fan from Mississippi State, so I'm okay with this result. Just very, very disappointed given the talent for Texas A&M this year. Usually with Kyle, the joke is 8-4 Jimbo Fisher, but it might be hard to get to 8-4 if they don't start fixing this stuff.
Yeah, I've been making this joke from the start that Jimbo Fisher is an overrated coach. He's an 8-4 coach. He's kind of proved that as long as he's been there. Even though he's bringing in the best recruits in the country, he's still not able to do anything with them. And like you said, if you're allowing Mississippi State to run the ball like this, I mean, it's not Mike Leach changing his offense. I do think he's adapted a little bit to the SEC, which I respect that for them. I do think Mississippi State's one of those teams that are still going to surprise people. They're 4-1 now. They get Arkansas next week. I think they win that game. We're going to get there. But this was a blowout. I mean, this was a very, very good win by Mississippi State. Like you said, we had quarterback issues from Texas A&M. The only good thing that Jimbo has going for him is he has Devin Achain, and I don't think he ran him enough, which is a surprising thing to say because I always think that he relies too heavily on his running game. But in a game like this, in a game, I don't know what they're planning to do moving forward, you got to figure something else because the quarterback play is not there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm kind of wondering people are saying they're going to fire Jimbo. I don't think they're quite at that point yet, but like, do
not
they
yet.
They're not going to take his play calling duties away. That he'll just quit rather than do that. But do they find an offensive coordinator who can help do something? Like, I don't know.
I think it's Jimbo's choice. His pride is way too big to hand away offensive duties this year. I don't think he does that.
Yeah.
Maybe you find a new offensive coordinator, an experienced one, hopefully. But this has been a problem since he started at Texas A&M. It's just been – it's exposed now because – your Mississippi State, your Arkansas, your Ole Miss, your three bottom dwellers of the SEC West suddenly have coaches that are competent, and they have good offenses, they have good defenses, and Texas A&M is now in trouble because they have a coach that insists on playing this old school style, and it's not working.
It only really worked at Florida State when they had Jameis Winston, too. I mean, he's got to change some things.
You had a Heisman caliber quarterback, imagine that.
Yeah, he's got to change things up, and like I do think that for the first couple of years at Texas A&M, you get a you're right. You know, you've got a new school. He's doing fine, 8-4 seasons. That's fine. But this right. year specifically was when, and even last year too, I think to some extent, even with the hurt quarterback, it is when it's kind of like you have to earn your contract. You have to go out there, maybe go 10-2, maybe go 11-1 with only a loss to Alabama. Like that's what was supposed to happen. It is not happening. And until he does prove it, there's gonna be a lot of people who are questioning him and his offensive system, which is totally fair at this point, 100% fair.
Yeah.
All right, next game up, we have TCU beating Oklahoma. They didn't just beat them. They beat them bad. It's 55-24. TCU's offense, Sonny Dykes has really come in and helped this offense out. They've got plenty of playmakers all over the field. Max Duggan looks like a completely different quarterback from years past. He's been there forever. Oklahoma, defense, not that great, which is surprising with Brent Venables coming in. And also they lose the quarterback Dylan Gabriel to concussion, kind of a headshot by one of the TCU linebackers, I want to say, and he was knocked out of the game. So just a whole lot of bad news for Oklahoma.
And frankly, he wasn't having a good game anyway, so you can blame it on that all you want, but they were losing this game regardless. I've never seen Oklahoma be exposable like this, especially by a TCU team. They're coming to the SEC, so I guess, you know, Big 12 is still going to be good because TCU's ranked now. But it's a very interesting development to see and not one I was expecting.
Yeah, me neither. I think I don't even think we have this on our list of picks because neither team is ranked. We have the Red River rivalry this week, and it could be.
And we're not even picking it.
Yeah, we can pick it if you want, but.
I don't want to.
Well, I think it's if they lose to Texas and they have three losses this early, like. Oh my, Brett Venables' tenure has started off in probably the worst way it possibly could have at that point. Minnesota and Purdue. Minnesota was ranked undefeated coming into this game. Maybe some big heads by Minnesota, but Purdue wins. And Kyle, I'm not like going to get into the details of this game. There were so many other good games going on, but this just proves to me the Big Ten West will not be decided until the last weekend. And the fact that Northwestern and Nebraska are still alive is a miracle.
And you and I have talked about this before, too. It's like, who's winning the West? Technically, Northwestern could. Technically, Nebraska could. And I think this was literally the epitome of everything that we were saying. It's like, Minnesota was 4-0. They were looking great. But they hadn't played a Big Ten – or they played one Big Ten game. And here comes Purdue, and they end up winning on the road. And I've always thought Purdue was good. I thought they kind of underperformed this year a little bit with those two losses. But here it is. They beat Minnesota, and you know now they're 1-1, I guess. Is there anybody undefeated in the West? It doesn't feel like it. There might be Illinois, maybe. I can't remember who it is, but no, it's definitely a wide open battle, and it's going to be interesting to watch going forward.
Yeah, we'll have to watch some of those noon kickoff games on ESPN or Fox and see what happens with the Big Ten West because it's one of those. It is the the most competitive and least competitive division all at the same time. Like, the teams are going to be in it until the end, but it's not like the teams are good, so I just have to watch it. Wake Forest beat Florida State 31-21. This was a ranked matchup for both teams here. Wake Forest was able to run the ball. Sam Hartman had another solid day. Florida State, I don't want to say they're frauds because this is a good Wake Forest team, but I think the hype maybe got overblown after their hot start to the season.
I agree 100% with you. I think I don't think Florida State's bad. I actually do think Norvell's made some movements there. I just think they ran into a buzzsaw with Wake Forest. It sucks it had to come at home because you'd prefer this one to be on the road and get some of those other ACC teams at home. Wake Forest is a good team, so this is a win that I kind of expected to happen, and it did. That doesn't mean Florida State's bad. I think Florida State could still be an 8-win team with or without the bowl game. They have a bright future ahead of them. So,
I agree. I think this is a team that could give some other ACC teams fits, but we'll get to some picks here later to see if maybe we pick against or pick for them this week. And Georgia Tech beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was ranked in this game, but I don't think there's too many ACC implications. I wasn't really high on Pittsburgh necessarily. But just Georgia Tech fires Jeff Collins and immediately goes and beats a ranked team on the road is a little bit funny to me, Kyle. Just a little bit.
No, I'm glad you added this one to our list because I've picked against Pittsburgh pretty much every single week. I've always thought they were overrated. I didn't think they'd lose to Georgia Tech. I mean, what is going on? How do you lose to Georgia Tech? I guess it proves that they're frauds, that they've been frauds from the start. They just ended up getting lucky from West Virginia. I mean, you and I watched that West Virginia game. That was a very lucky turn of events. West Virginia had that thing won, and then they give it away in the last minute or whatever it is, when it minute or two. Pittsburgh doesn't have the talent to be a ranked team. They can still be, I mean, a 7, arguably 8-win team still. I just don't think they're quality a ranked team. But, I mean, if Georgia Tech's beating you, come on.
Yeah, I know, and I thought the defense would be able to hang on maybe a bottom-tier top 25 ranking this year, but Keaton Slovis is not it, and they lost Jordan Addison. The offense isn't there, and the defense has a lot of pressure, so not going to happen this year for them. Not at all.
Imagine that.
All right, let's go to our picks for week 6. We have some good games on the docket. We'll start it off with Tennessee and LSU. Tennessee's 8th in the country, LSU's 25. It is a home game for the Tigers, and it's a 3-point spread for Tennessee.
And honestly, I hate that this is a noon game or 11 a.m., wherever you are. I think if this was a night game, I think LSU does win this. And with it being a noon game, it makes it a little weirder. Tennessee's good, man. I mean, Hendon Hooker is a great quarterback. They've got a lot going for them. The problem is Tennessee's defense has been very susceptible. I mean, they've been exposed this year. LSU's offense hasn't really been – they haven't proven that they've been able to make that be of an advantage. I think – for me anyway, I know it's a favor for Tennessee there, I think -3, but I've got – it's kind of a pick 'em for me. I'm going to go with Tennessee here, but I'm not confident.
Yeah, I feel similarly about this game. I'm going with Tennessee as well. I'm not confident because they have struggled, and maybe that's a good – like, you know, struggled against Pitt. Maybe it's a good sign that they can win those tough games or those close games, but – I want to see them dominate teams like Pitt, too, to show they're really back, really a top-10 team. Didn't see it. I'm a big fan of Hendon Hooker, the way he plays. I think he's a really good quarterback. I think that's the difference in this game. Jaden Daniels does not look good and only does his run. He's also banged up right now. So, I don't know. Just going to be tough for LSU to win the game with that going on. So, I'm going Tennessee to win. LSU, I would say I'm impressed with the job Brian Kelly has done getting back on track after the loss to Florida State. I mean, the win at Mississippi State, the win against Auburn are both really, really good to start the season, and now they can win some of these big games. We'll see if they can get some more hype behind them. All right, TCU and Kansas. Game day is going to Lawrence, Kansas. Never thought we'd see the day. TCU is favored by 7 points on the road.
If you think I'm going against Kansas, you're crazy. All right. You're crazier than College Game Day going to Kansas. I think Jalen Daniels has been great. They did make that switch. Thank God it finally happened. He's leading the team in rushing yards, second on the team in rushing yards, leading the team in rushing scores. I think he is the difference maker here. Regardless, though, I would be going with Kansas. Like, absolutely no way. Like, it's Kansas Jayhawks season. Did you? I don't know if you saw. I tweeted out the last time they were 5-0. And they beat Duke, and Iowa State in that 5-0 stretch. They were number two in the country in 2007 and went, I think, 11-1 and won the bowl game 12-1. So I've pretty much got Kansas in my playoff. I think, I mean, why wouldn't you? You know, history repeats itself. Here it is.
They do have, I saw this stat too, they have the third strength of record in the country right now. So people were complaining I had them in my top 12 for the college football playoff. They've played, you know, they've beaten some good teams, some solid teams, not like the greatest of the great.
Duke's a good team.
Duke's won some games, and I mean, West Virginia is not playing as well as they want, but I mean, they haven't had like a true cupcake on the schedule, I don't think. And the whole, like, Houston is the easiest team.
They had the FCS game, but that doesn't count. Everyone has that.
So I'm going TCU to win, which is going to break your heart. And my heart too, honestly. I love Kansas, but I'm going Kansas with the points. I think there's some big factors in this. One, I think Sonny Dyke's offense is going to be too much. Two, this is not 2007. They do not have both Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. in their defensive backfield. I think this is the end of the run. I wish it doesn't have to end, but I think it's going to.
I'm happy you're wrong.
I'll be happy to be wrong too if Kansas keeps this going on. All right, Arkansas at Mississippi State. Mississippi State's favored by 8 points. I didn't think we were going to see this like a couple weeks ago.
This is my second reason that I absolutely love this week. I get the four teams I hate the most in the world playing each other at noon. I'm going to lose my mind. I have Mississippi State in this one. So I know that's a little shocking, I guess, but I do think Mississippi State wins this one. They should have won last year. That one was on the road too. And KJ's questionable for this game. I know Rocket Sanders has been an absolute force, but if you don't have a healthy KJ, I worry. Arkansas also has one of the worst secondaries in the country, and that's all Mississippi State does. I know they don't throw it deep. I know they do a lot of dink and dunks and whatever, but I still think they can expose the secondary and the defense. I think that's why it's an 8-point spread, and that's why I have Mississippi State.
Yeah, I was high on Arkansas to start the season.
I know.
I'm gonna stick with them for this game. I'm gonna assume KJ is healthy and ready to go. I'm gonna assume Sam Pittman's gonna do the right thing and play Malik Hornsby as his backup quarterback, and not whatever the other guy's name. I forget his name, but not even play the other guy. I'm just assuming a lot here, but I'm gonna stick with them. Mike Leach's passing attack does give me a lot of room for pause here. Kyle, you know I'm a big Mike Leach guy. I've read every single one of his books that he's either written or been a subject of. I'm gonna stick with Arkansas. I mean, this game is probably easier than last week. They at least got it close against Arkansas. They arguably should have beat Texas A&M. I think we're having a much different conversation if maybe that oink doink doesn't happen. All right, we have Texas Tech at Oklahoma State next. Two former great offenses going at it. Oklahoma State is favored by 9.5 points.
And Texas Tech has looked good this year, but I got to go with Mike Gundy and Oklahoma State. I really do think that this is the year that they can win the Big 12, and they should win the Big 12. And I don't think they get tripped up by an average Texas Tech team.
I'm with you. If this is at Texas Tech, I think it's a different game. Maybe the spread's 3 points to Oklahoma State, and it's kind of close. But I do think Oklahoma State can kind of, I don't know, after about a half, kind of run away with this game, get the win. They have everything they need to win a Big 12 championship. They got the fire in them because they lost in the most painful way last year, too. So we'll see if they can bounce back. We have Utah and UCLA up next. Big Pac-12 matchup here for the Pac-12 South. Utah's ranked 11th. UCLA is ranked 18th. Utah is favored by 4.5 points on the road.
I'm torn on this one because I've really wanted to be a UCLA believer for years now. I've loved DTR. I love Chip. I do think that should and will be a good team. We watched Utah lose to, in my opinion, not a very good Florida team. They let AR-15 go crazy on them. And Cam Rising just suddenly lost his head and did not look good either. If that kind of thing happens again this game, obviously UCLA is going to win, but I think UCLA can force the hand with DTR in their offense, and it being a home game, I think they can try to maybe make Cam Rising do things he's not comfortable with, and they can get this win.
Yeah, I'm going with Utah. I think the loss at Florida was a bad loss, obviously, but I don't know if they were expecting Anthony Richardson.
A fluke loss.
A fluke loss, maybe. I still think they're probably the best team in the Pac-12 South. I mean, it remains to be seen with USC, but USC, I mean, hasn't played anyone quite yet. That's really impressive.
And UCLA, they're undefeated too. Hang on.
True, true. But the I'm going to get Utah. I think the physical nature of their team, I think being able to run the ball with Tavian Thomas, I think will be the big difference maker here. In Las Vegas, we have BYU and Notre Dame. Why would BYU go to Las Vegas? The Mormons aren't even allowed to do anything that Las Vegas offers. So that's a different debate. But, you know, BYU at BYU versus Notre Dame in Las Vegas. Notre Dame scheduled these trips to recruit. So they're going to recruit out west. Notre Dame's favored by 3.5.
I was going to say, is it a bigger stadium? Like, maybe it's something like that. I don't really understand it either. I've got BYU. I don't know why Notre Dame's favored. Notre Dame just hasn't moved the needle for me this year. They've got, you know, a couple boo-boo wins and whatever. But BYU's actually played competition this year, and the loss they played competition too as well. So I like BYU. It's an away game, but it's really not an away game. I think maybe 50-50 at worst, but.
Yeah, what I'm unfamiliar with, Kyle, is this started off as the game was a 2.5 point favorite for BYU, and now it switched to 3.5 point favorite for Notre Dame. I don't know what happened. I've been as decently locked in as you can be on a national scale to football news. I mean, the receivers have been out before for BYU. I don't know, but I'm going Notre Dame to win this game. I don't know if they would cover the 3.5 points. I think it's going to be a close game. They had a bye before this to prepare for BYU. BYU's had a very tough schedule to start the year, including Oregon and Baylor. Just brutal, I think, schedule for them. And then they have Arkansas coming up too, which we'll probably get to a pick of that in a couple weeks. But no, I think the extra week to prepare, I think Drew Pine getting more familiar with the offense and everything will be the difference here. And I think Notre Dame can win. They have the talent too. And I think if we didn't see that Marshall loss, everyone would be picking Notre Dame anyway. All right, next one up, we have Washington State at USC. This might be USC's first big test of the season. USC is favored by 13 points at home.
Yeah, I think I take maybe not the points, but I think this is just another, you know, Washington State, they're better, but they're not good yet. I mean, they're not quite there. I think this is a game that USC wins. I don't think it's really that close. I think USC, it might be an arguably close game, but I think USC wins this comfortably.
I think USC is going to win. Cameron Ward just hasn't looked exactly like prescribed when he transferred in from Incarnate Word for Washington State. I'll take Washington State with the points. 13 points is pretty big for a big first game. Their first big game. I'm interested to see if this offense can keep rolling. Caleb Williams looks really good this season other than 2 weeks ago, but I think he'll get back on track and be good in this one. Next one up, we have Kansas State at Iowa State. Kansas State's ranked in the top 25. They're number 20. Iowa State has struggled this year so far. They're 3-2. Kansas State is favored by 2 points.
I kind of like Iowa State in this one. I mean, they're at home. I know Kansas State's a very one-dimensional offense. I mean, let's be honest, Adrian Martinez, they got Deuce Vaughn and everything. It's a very ground game-driven thing. I don't think that Adrian Martinez can do what he needs to do in a game that might be a shootout or a game that might be close or anything. I just haven't seen enough from his arm yet this year anyway. And I want to go with the underdog anyway. You know, I love Matt Campbell. I love Iowa State. I want to see some shit. So,
favorite player in FBS to watch this year is Deuce Vaughn. So I'm sticking with Kansas State.
I know you love him.
He's good, man. He's short, but he's good. I'm going to have a fun time doing his NFL player profile for the NFL draft when we do that and stuff too. But, if they use him right, yeah, he's one of the leading rushers in the country. He also can catch the ball. I think that makes problems for Iowa State. And I've been very unimpressed with Iowa State so far. I think this might be the year that Matt Campbell gets out. Like, I know he's all about family and program, but if your family's going to end up not making a bowl game this year, maybe you might be time to leave.
And then they're going to turn on you.
Exactly. All right, the game everyone was waiting for back in the preseason, Texas A&M and Alabama. Not as good as maybe we thought it was going to be. I think maybe we all thought Texas A&M would be at least a little bit better right now. But Alabama's favored by 24 points, and we don't even know the status of their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I think nobody cares about this game anymore. But, God, the chance of A&M going 3-3 just That makes me feel so validated because I've been on the camp that Jimbo is not a good coach from the start. And this is just – this season, once again, proves me right. It's how do you have all the talent in the world and you still can't beat Mississippi State? You can't even touch Mississippi State. You also lose to Appalachian State. And here we are. You're going to lose to Alabama. Let's be serious. Alabama's not losing this game. The question, I guess, is do they cover or not? I think they do because I think that Jimbo pissed Saban off so much. Whether Bryce plays or not, I still think they cover.
Yeah, I mean, look at Texas A&M's rest of their schedule. They got some tough games after this too, right? Like they got Ole Miss. If
Anthony, they're gonna play Arkansas and Ole Miss. I mean,
well, they already played Arkansas.
I'm sorry, LSU and Ole Miss.
Yeah, there you go, there you go. Yeah, they got LSU, Ole Miss. If Anthony Richardson,
it's not easy.
If Anthony Richardson decides to be good that day, I mean, Florida could be tough. It depends on how he feels. But I mean, we went from a team that, like, I don't know, everyone thought would maybe be 9-3.
They're not even ranked anymore.
They're not ranked. They're going to have 3 losses at this point in the season. They could theoretically lose at least 2 more, 3 more. They could be 7-5 or 6-6. Rough. But Kyle, you were on that this offseason. You mentioned he was a bad coach. For me, I wanted to see him prove it this year. He had all the talent. There was no excuses. They at least needed to be 10-win season for me to, like, say, hey, all right, this is still Jimbo. He won a championship. Nope. Absolutely out. You can't lose to Appalachian State. I get Appalachian State's a good, solid power or group of 5 program. You can't lose to Mississippi State. I love Mike Leach. I love everything he does. But
I mean, they got beat bad by Mississippi State. It's one thing to lose to them. They got beat bad. That wasn't even a competition in the second half.
Can you imagine if that field goal for Arkansas went in too? Were they what sort of panic would be there at Texas A&M right now?
2-3, looking at 2-4, staring at 2-4 in the face.
Yeah.
I think then we actually are talking about Texas A&M boosters trying to buy out Jimbo. I really do.
I do.
We're joking about it this week, but oof.
Yeah, I'm with you. If they lose that game, he's definitely in a different situation here. It shows you that, I mean, just a couple inches one way or another would have changed things. But yeah, pick for me is Alabama to win this game. And I do think the bad blood is going to be, I mean, boiling on the side. You're going to see it. They don't like each other anymore. They used to work together.
It's going
to
be so good.
You know how it is when you used to work with someone and then just, you know, that's how you have all the stuff built up. So, if you want to watch a massacre, turn on CBS at 8 p.m. Eastern, and you can do that. The other thing I want to talk about, Kyle, is I think the CBS should probably wait before they pick the primetime games and the doubleheader games that they do. This is one that preseason they picked way ahead of time, and now we're getting to a point where no one's going to watch after the first quarter, unless you're just an Alabama fan or just want to see a team die on the field.
Yeah, I'm not really interested. What's funny is I'm going to be very interested in the Kansas State-Iowa State game and also the Notre Dame-BYU game, and they didn't want anything to do with that. Honestly, South Carolina-Kentucky looks interesting.
Yes.
More interesting than A&M versus Bama because I know what's going to happen in that game. I don't really know what's going to happen in this game.
I mean, the primetime games are pretty weak. Like, you could even go Washington State-USC. I'd rather watch on this just to see if something different happened, but we all know what's going to happen.
I mean, Washington State's shown they're capable, so yeah, why not? Texas A&M hasn't, so.
All right, last game of the week we'll pick Florida State and NC State. This one is a primetime game. It is on ACC Network, though, so not everyone will be able to watch. NC State's favored by 3.5.
Yeah, that feels a little small for me. I don't know. I thought NC State played a good game last week. I thought Devin Leary looked a lot better than what I've seen. But like we said, Florida State is not a pushover by any means. I mean, they lost last week, sure, but that was a good Wake Forest team. I think Florida State's it's a very formidable opponent. I just think NC State's a little better. They have the veteran quarterback presence with Devin Leary and everything. So I like NC State to win this one. I really do think that's the number 2 team in the ACC. But, you know, this week's really it's going to prove it.
I think so, too. I believe they lost to Florida State last year despite having one of the best seasons they've had in recent memory. So I think they're going to be back on track. They're focused for this game. Devin Leary, I think, will have a good game, too. He needs to play better. I know he played decently against Clemson, but this guy was tearing up defenses last year. They had Azu Kanma was their wide receiver last year, who was like the number 1 receiver, but they have everyone else back at wide receiver. Yeah. They got some transfers. He's got to start playing better. That offense has to start playing better as well. The offensive coordinator has been highly criticized, and that's fair, but that defense is for real, and I think the defense is the reason why they win this one. keep it rolling. You never know. I think if they, if as you said, second best team in the ACC, that while their playoff hopes might be dashed if the players had them, I don't know if anyone else did, they still have a chance at a New Year's Six Bowl this year if they keep their head focused. All right, any final thoughts, Kyle?
I was going to ask about the Northwestern game, but honestly, that season is over, and we don't need to talk about Ole Miss against Vanderbilt, so no, there are no thoughts here.
Yeah, okay, well, if you want to, I can say I think Kentucky's going to beat South Carolina, but, you know, we're just going to...
By how much? What's that spread? Let's see.
I think it's, is it seven still? No,
ten and a half.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I gotta say, Rattler's looked really, really bad this year. I do think Kentucky, it's at home. Kentucky's really good at home. I think Kentucky can win that by 10.5. But what's crazy is they did not beat Northern Illinois by 10.5. I feel confident they can beat South Carolina by 10.5.
Yeah. Weird, but I think they have some extra motivation now. Steven Garcia, the former South Carolina quarterback, was saying how Kroger Field was awful and how Kentucky isn't a real team, basically. So, you know, they've had that.
Oh, this is easily coverable then.
Yeah, Roman Harper earlier in the year said Kentucky was soft, and the offensive line isn't as good as they used to be, but I don't know if I'd call them soft. And then this is happening. I feel very confident that everyone else is talking shit about Kentucky because I think there's the potential to be 9-3 by the end of the year, and you know that's
it should be 9-3. It should be a loss to Georgia, and then maybe they drop one other one. Maybe I think Tennessee, but bottom line, I mean, I went to the Kentucky game last week, and I think Kentucky Stadium is very, very, very good. I think their fans are very, very much into it, and Garcia talking shit about Kentucky is a joke.
Yeah, well,
don't get me wrong, Williams-Brice is a great stadium, great environment, whatever. But like, Kentucky isn't a joke. It's not a pushover. Not anymore. Maybe back in the day when he was there, but today, that's not an easy stadium to win. I mean, they are there for their team.
Well, that's the funny thing is, I guess other than Missouri and Vanderbilt and the SEC East, I guess it goes without saying, but like South Carolina has been the team that Kentucky's had the most success over in the last 10 years, and I guess, you know, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, that makes sense that they're top three, but even Tennessee's been really
down.
Easy.
Yeah,
Tennessee's been really down, and they were not able to take advantage of it for so many years. So just. Weird that Steven Garcia would say something, but we'll see what happens come Saturday night.
Yeah, I think maybe don't talk shit when your team can't beat that team, but maybe that's the motivational factor. Maybe that's what he's going for. You never know.
Maybe he has an extra year of eligibility. You can play quarterback for him because Spencer Rattler is not doing well.
His team's 0-2 in the SEC, so I don't know why he's talking, but
yeah,
whatever.
Oh, boy. All right, that's my final thought. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week.